Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis, Shir number 476. We're going to summarize from the Matoi Voyalecha the content of the last few Shirim briefly in just 3 minutes' time. Number one, the education we receive when we're young emphasizes purity and modesty, and pre-wedding lessons seem to contradict these values. And therefore, it results in confusion, disbelief, and it could really be very devastating and traumatic, especially on such sensitive and emotional topics. And to understand the delicate reality of marital relations and why it would be permissible after being taught all these years that these type of acts are negative. An analogy would be like eating meat, which is permissible and even a mitzvah at certain times and prohibited at other times. Married relations is a similar thing. It's permissible and even a mitzvah in the context of marriage, despite it having been forbidden before pre-marriage. The mitzvah is for pru or vu, to have children, and in its own right itself as a mitzvah of aina. The sole purpose is not to accommodate one's wife's desires, although the Chazal do talk about it a lot, and Hashem, it's clear the Torah places importance on the husband fulfilling his wife's physical desires. But if that is the only purpose in people's minds, that is an error. We're going to get this talk about that in the future, Be'ezus Hashem. And then the idea of separating the physical and the spiritual is inherited by foreign ideologies, Bilam, Greek philosophers, the original Christianity, antithetical to Torah Hashkafa. Torah Hashkafa is balance. Just like you could use a hand to write a Sefer Torah, which makes your hands holy, or to rob people, which makes your hands corrupt, all body parts are the same, including the body parts engaged in marital intimacy aspects. It could be used for the positive and it then becomes holy and pure. It could be used for the negative. So this is, in a nutshell, the summary of a lot of the points we brought up till now. Now we're going to discuss it a little further, Be'ez Hashem. The one way you could say how mitzvahs ayin is different than many mitzvahs is that it's a natural mitzvah, which means that even if the Torah would not be given, it would be a mitzvah. For example, when you have tefillin, or matzah, or lulav, or shofar, the reason we are mekayim those mitzvahs is Hashem instructed us to do it. We would have not known normally that it should be done in that particular way. However, marital relations, oina, is part of human life that was given even before the Torah was given. Hashem put in the nature of creation that a man and a woman unite. Now, you could say that's a mitzvah pruvu, but it's put into the nature. This is why it's called Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz means it's the way of the world, meaning it's programmed in the world, meaning Hashem put it as a natural instinct wired in human beings to connect this way. The Gemara uses this term Derech Eretz all over the place. Bia, the actual physical intimacy itself, is called Derech. And the Gemara Kedushin Daf Beis Amud Aleph Beis, and so on and so forth. So Derech Eretz. You see this also in the Haggadah of Pesach. It says Vayar Es Onyenu, Hashem saw our pain. What's our pain? Zu Parishas Derech Eretz. That's when the Mitzrayim held us back from joining together as normal married people, because of the hard work and everything they separated them. They were not able to be intimate with one another. That is called Yisurim in pain. By the way, the Ben Ish Chai discusses this, fascinating. You know, it says that why is Mila on the eighth day? Because until that point, there's Yemei Tuma, basically by a boy, your tummy for 7 days. Theoretically, although it's not practically, especially now in the Rabbanans, it never happens, but at least in theory, it could happen where the mother could become pure after day seven, purify yourself, go to the mikveh and be with her husband. And so therefore, Mila is on the day 8th, so that it shouldn't be otherwise. It would be before that. It would be that everyone is happy because of the mitzvah of the Mila, and everyone's celebrating, while the mother and father are at Seivim, are sad because they're not together. The Ben Ish Chai explains that that's not the real reason. That's not the etzem reason. That's not the essence of the reason of why Mila is on day 8. And he says, obviously, because practical reasons, 98% of the time, now Midrabanan, it doesn't exist. You can't have a mother and father being together by day 8. Number one, also out of practicality medically, a wife after birth is not up to it at that point in time. So obviously, in a realistic way, it's really not shayach. It's not a real practical reason of why Mila is on day 8. But it is a tam. It is a true essence reason, if the Chazal brought it in there, to teach you lessons thereof. And to show how important the concept is of a mother and father being happy by the fact that they're together. So Ben Ish Chai, if you look at it in the Drashos in Psicha 1, talks about this inyan. But you do see the same idea. The other things that are found in nature, for example, is it says that if you wouldn't learn about certain mitzvahs, you would learn about hard work or zerizas from a ant. You would learn about to stay away from gezel, I think, from an ant. And you would learn pius from a rooster. A rooster, by nature, cohabits with its mate only after being active in pius, which is appeasing their partner with proper communication. Again, the truth is that they do it out of instinct, that they, Hashem put into the nature of a rooster, that they, with derech eretz, they appease their mate before actually mating with them. It's to teach us a lesson, but that's derech eretz we would learn from them. And that was the approach of the Marishin and the Avais, which we're going to talk about later. Proofs of this is that when they were engaged in marital relations, it was with an abundance of a feeling of love, a special ahava towards one another, and akaras hatov. So mitzvahs ayna is an innate natural part of being human. And yes, the particular halachas are studied, are in Torah, in halacha, it's in depth, all the harachas and all the inyanim and so on and so forth, and how to go about it are detailed, but the concept of it is indeed, logical. It's derech eretz. It's sort of like a derech eretz kadma l'Torah type of thing. The Torah itself doesn't show an open mitzvah ayna per se. It's brought down where? By Amma Ivriya. Like in passing, so to speak. It says that if a adain, an owner, marries another woman other than this Amma Ivriya, other than this slave girl, he cannot withhold from her food, her clothing, or the inasa, which is the being, the physical life with her. Which means that if a man is already married, like you said, and you take a second wife, you can't neglect from the first wife, the Amma Ivriya, her basic needs. But it doesn't say openly in the Torah, point blank, that the husband has a duty to be intimate with his wife. It doesn't say it openly. Why not? The answer is easy. Because it's an integral part of married life. It's a chiluk of derech eretz kadma l'Torah. The Mechilta brings this down in Mishpatim. Kimishpat habonais yasala. Mishpat habonais, what does that mean? Ma zeh, just like the Amma Ivriya, sheyek susa v'inasa l'yigra, af bas Yisrael, sheyek susa v'inasa l'yigra. And there's a Netziv on it, and there's other pratim on it, but the Netziv brings down, because he has the Pirush on the Mechilta, that even if Mitzvah Aynu would not have been written in the Torah, it's a simple common sense that you're mechuyev to do it, right? Like Seventh Gemara, for example, says kala. Everyone knows why a kala goes under the chuppah, but you're not supposed to express it with your mouth because it's not derech eretz. It's a nivel pet to express it. The Besid Sharm brings that my resident down. So, what do you mean why a kala goes to chuppah? What it means is that she desires to be intimate. She wants that intimate relationship. And once married, she's forbidden to attain that pleasure anywhere else other than from her husband. And it's her husband's responsibility to provide it for her. But of course, very often in the Torah, common sense is not alone. We need Torah sources to bring guidance and boundaries to it. So for example, let's give the example of a parent and a child. Parents, if they're healthy, will feel a special affection and connection to their children. And even if one does not have their own children, they could understand the concept of loving one's own child. But let's say there's a community out there, you encounter a Jewish community that don't understand this. They don't know, they don't get the concept that a parent should love their child. Let's say they don't have that emotion. They say, oh, it's just chance. So this child was born to them. It's chance, it's nothing to do with them. Blood relation means nothing. So they won't express any praise to their children. They won't show love to their children. They'll punish them, even for the smallest things that they do. And they'll create schools that way, right? And they'll prove that their behaviors are correct. They'll bring chazals even, right? That, for example, the Gemara says in Makkos, Afag av de Gomer, even though the son knows how to learn, Mitzah nami mitzah ka'avid. It's a mitzah to give him malchus, to punish him. Why? Yaseh min chaviyani checha. Discipline your child. So you would take these chazals. That's why you need a rebbe, a real pikeach, talmud chacham, tzaddik rebbe, to know how to apply these chazals. Doesn't mean it that way. But the bottom line is, most of us, if we would look at such a community, would say there's something off with them. We even say it's child abuse, you know. Why? Because everyone understands that a parent-child relationship of such type would result in very unhealthy children. And many people would go off the derech. Because love of a parent of the child is intuitive and is intrinsic. It's embedded in the DNA by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But try to convince them of that, such a community. It's going to fall on deaf ears. The only way to convince them is that the Torah says so itself, that Hashem wants this to be. Hashem wants this to be. And you have to find Ma'amari Chazal and proofs that show without any question that this is the truth. The same applies for Aina. Yes, it's a natural mitzvah. But for many reasons in society, in our societies, it's been repressed and leaves people really confused and don't know how to handle it. But the truth is inherently by nature, just like the love between a parent and a child is natural, the love between a husband and wife is just as natural. It's even more natural in many ways. You're going to say maybe it's not because by a parent and child, one gives birth to the other. It's a birth relationship while spouses, they meet out after that. But the bottom line is once they do meet, the relationship is deeper and it's greater. And it is just natural. The instinctive impulse to want to be together when they love each other as such is natural. The proof is again, this is what you look at Gemara Yumin Nun Daled. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohanim wanted to show the Jews how much Hashem loved them, they would unveil the Kruvim. A man and a woman embracing and clinging to each other. It's really remarkable, by the way, if you think about it. Okay, certainly in the second Beis HaMikdash, if they ever did that. But, you know, put up a sign, you know, a hafti eschem ama Hashem or something. No, they showed a physical manifestation of the Kruvim, of a man and a woman embracing and clinging to each other. And the Jews saw that. Oh, you see, I'm beloved by Hashem, like a love of a man and a woman. That's why they share Hashirim. And they grasped that degree of love by the vision of the Kruvim embracing each other. They understood what that love is supposed to look like. They understood the mushel. The Nimshel was self-understood. You didn't even have to explain it. They just saw it. The Svarim throughout the ages bring this concept down of the love between a husband and wife is the way you approach the love to Hashem. It aligns with one another. The connection between Hashem and the Jewish people is the connection between a husband and the wife. It's the same. What's above is down here. What's down here is up there. It's Avodas Hashem. And that is the idea, to learn that the intimacy between husband and wife, the affection between husband and wife is natural, is instinctive, and to be internalized as such. And then when you do that, all the shiurim fit like a glove, and it makes perfect sense. It's not a chiddush to people. And this is the way we're supposed to look at it, to recognize it's a natural part of our existence. This is the natural thing. And then, therefore, by believing this and by understanding this and bringing this emuna to people that this is the way it is, chassanim and kalas will be much less confused about this whole concept of being connected in an emotional way and manifested in a very physical way. That is the most natural thing in the world. Bracha v'atzlacha.